Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Hey, happy Father's Day to our dads. And Steve mentioned it about us not getting you a gift today. My wife actually leaned over to me. She said, "Oh, honey, we need to do that next year." I said, no we don't, baby. Because here's why. Now, it's Father's Day. Let me give one disclaimer. This is a day for men. So I'm going to be very offensive to every woman here all day. So just forgive me now. All the women in their hearts, God, forgive him, Jesus. I love him, Lord. Okay, so let me just be plain. We give things out on Mother's Day. Men, the things we give you on Mother's Day, we men consider those trinkets to throw away. See, I knew that would be offensive, but that's okay. The reason we don't give a trinket out on Father's Day, because dads will go, "Oh, no, thank you." Then they'll take it and get in the car and go, "What am I going to do with this?" Okay, happy Father's Day. And so, one of the heart's desire that Michelle and I had when Victory was founded over 22 years ago, that this would be a church that men would be able to come to and understand that you can walk with God as a man and serve him and be literally a blessing to the world. You know, in the scripture, there's a picture of a dad, of what a dad can do in the Old Testament. And because God is our Heavenly Father, the children of Israel were in the bondage of Egypt. And Egypt is a place of bondage. It's a type of bondage in the Old Testament to where people were trapped as slaves. Then God came and delivered them out of Egypt's bondage. They passed through the Red Sea. They went into a wilderness and then ultimately into a promised land. That's the job of every dad, to take their family through that process. The absence of fathers in our world today, the plague, and it is a plague of fatherlessness in our culture, has brought so much damage. Can I say this to you? Without a father, the likelihood of a child staying in some place of bondage in their life, it raises the percentages astronomically. And I know we live in a culture as well, because I want to be really plain, because there's so much stupidity on television. And all this stuff I hear on television constantly about this, about that, about the problems of this, the problems of that. It really breaks down to one thing: violating the promises, the purposes of God for men and women. Every child needs a mom. Every child needs a dad. And we are so marginalized today as men that we're literally told today that you can decide to be a woman and it's okay. And I don't mean that to be funny at all. God made man in his image. He created man, male and female. So when you see male and female, you see the image of God. God's not just male. Everything you see in a woman, it came out of the nature of God. God created mankind in his image, male and female, in his image. So when you see a culture trying to diminish the gender, it's not trying to diminish man. It's trying to diminish the image of God in man. It's trying to pervert who God is in the earth. We live in a world today where men are not allowed to be men, and women have to be men. And everybody's, and literally now people, how many of you have ever seen the reveal parties people have when they have babies? You know, they balloons come out, they're either pink or blue. But I'd be surprised if it won't be long, that'll be politically incorrect. They're going to have to come out gray. Because, no, people will say this: we don't want to impose a gender on our child. Now, let me just be as polite as I know how to be. That is so stupid. And it is brain dead. It is brain dead. The world and its system, and I don't mean this against people, but it's a culture set on fire of hell to ruin people's lives. This world needs men that know how to be men more than just about anything in the world. Fatherlessness is a plague on our society. It's an utter plague. I listen to people that are so-called leaders in urban centers that prostitute the pain of people for their own gain. While there are many people in urban centers doing an amazing job, they don't get any press, though. And I hear that, well, the fatherlessness issue is not the issue in the urban centers. Poverty is. Poverty is a direct result of fatherlessness. Both are horrible. Both need to be addressed. But it's so critically important that dads understand that you are not marginalized in the Word of God. And you certainly, if anything proves that you aren't marginalized in what this world needs, it is the statistics of what's produced through fatherlessness. Let me just take a few moments and talk to you about some of those. These are not hypothetical. These are not left-wing, right-wing, Democrat, Republican. These are facts of life that are indisputable. That a single mom, with the absence of a husband in that home, single moms are poorer. They're more likely to suffer from stress, depression, emotional and psychological and health problems. And certainly and obviously more problems interacting with their kids. Children that live without their biological fathers, these are facts, are more likely to live in poverty and deprivation, trouble in school, trouble getting along with others, risk of health problems, suffering from physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. The likelihood of a child being sexually abused without a dad in the home skyrockets. And they're more likely to run away from home. You are called to, literally as a dad, to learn how to take your kids, your family, out of this kind of bondage. And the absence of a father leaves them in it. In fact, it sets them up for it. Young adults who grew up without living with their biological fathers are less likely to attain qualifications for a job. They're more likely to experience unemployment, low incomes, needing income support, homelessness, going to jail. We have more people incarcerated per capita than any other industrialized nation in the world. And people lament about that. It's not a lamenting issue about the outcome. We should look to the cause. Kids need a dad. Listen, being a dad in today's world is not simple. It takes a man to be a father. Anybody can inseminate somebody. But it takes a man to be a father. And God has called you to be that. He really has. It's so important. You know, let me just, a few more stats. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 90%. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 71% of kids that drop out from high school, fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions, fatherless homes. 85% of all youths sitting in prison today are from a dadless home. God has uniquely designed the father to make a difference. He has called you to learn how to take your family out of the bondage that this world provides for all of us and pass through a Red Sea. The Red Sea is a place of separation. The Red Sea is where you as a dad lead your family away from the things that are here to pollute and destroy them. That's what a dad's called to do. And the Red Sea is this incredible boundary God gives you as a parent and God gives you as a dad to be able to place in your home. The Red Sea was just not a boundary so that Egypt could not follow them out. It was a boundary so they could not go back. You are that boundary as a dad. You are the boundary for your children not to go into that world of bondage. You are the one that matters when you set the course in your home. It's critically important. Then ultimately they went into a wilderness, and the wilderness is a place where you make a decision in the midst of adversity who you're going to serve. The greatest gift you can give your kids is to serve God with all your heart. And I don't mean to be, listen, and I'll get to this in a minute. Guys are uncomfortable with that because Christianity largely has been feminized, and not that it shouldn't be. Christianity and church should be a place where a woman is able to come and serve God and worship God and experience God. But it ought not to be a place where a man feels ungodly because he's a man. Men and women have different issues. Anybody married? Men and women have some different issues. And this is a dad's day. So I want to talk to dads. I want to encourage you to understand you were put on this planet to make a difference. You were put on this planet to take your children out of the bondage that this world presents to all of us and to create that separation, that Red Sea experience that said, we don't go back and it doesn't follow. And when we get into the adversities of life, and you will face them, your marriage, your family, whatever, I mean, financial, everybody faces adversity. That we don't run back to Egypt. We don't run back into bondage to deal with our pain. We run to our Heavenly Father, and we will walk with God no matter what it looks like. And ultimately, you take them to a promised land. Every dad has that power. Every dad. Every single last one of them. But here's the real question. So how do I do that? Because the truth of it is, men feel less spiritual than women. Because we hear it all the time. I don't mean once or twice. Michelle will tell you hundreds and hundreds of times in these many years that we've been in ministry. People say things like this to us. My wife's the spiritual one. My wife's sensitive to God. I'm not the spiritual one in our home. That's an absolute lie. That is an absolute lie. Men and women process spirituality very differently. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, and please don't misinterpret this. I'm not saying that a woman should process her spiritual life any differently. She shouldn't. They've got it together. They worship God. They go after God. Church is a place they feel comfortable. But pastors have not been trained to talk to men. They've been trained to talk to women, and that's okay. They should. But men don't listen to God's word like a woman does. But I want you to know, first thing, this is so, so important. Let me encourage you. This is the first thing you need to understand is the how-to. Is simply this. You need to walk with God just for yourself. You really do. You need to learn what it means to walk with God as a man. Because it takes courage in this world to live by your beliefs. Now, when I say Christianity has been feminized, let me explain that, because I don't mean that critically. And not that it shouldn't be. But I'm very sensitive to even the songs we pick here as a pastor. There are songs that really are meaningful when a woman sings them about Jesus. It's tender, it's sweet. But men, when Jesus, I want to hold your hand. I'm like, no, I don't. No. I love you, Jesus, but don't want to hold your hand. Lay your head upon his breast. And I'm like, no, don't want to do that. No. And so men think to be spiritual means you have to violate the stuff that you go, no. See, when men and women have a lot of similarities, but here's one of the uniquenesses between us. When a woman senses the presence of God, she senses this utter intimacy with God. And a man can sense it too, but it will cause her to expand everything that she feels and sees and the gifts that she has in her life and the relational capacities that women have that are so much greater in their capacities often than men. And that doesn't mean women shouldn't lead. They do lead. They lead in this church. Women are great leaders. Women can be great visionaries. But what I'm trying to say to you, when men sense the presence of God, they want to get up and go shoot something. They want to go build something or tear something down. But if you're told that when you feel that, no, you just need to sit there and go. I'm not saying women do that, okay? I'm not. But I'm just saying guys think that's what it means to be spiritual. I sense the presence of God and I'm supposed to. Listen, for me to get a tear, I have to pull out a nose hair. It just isn't coming. And it doesn't need to. Men and women process spirituality differently. Men and women are tempted differently. Men are eye-wired. Our temptation is what we see. Women's temptations often are responding by how they feel. Neither one are good or bad. It's just we're different. It's why when men, a woman will look at her husband who's struggling with eye issues. You know what I mean by eye issues? What he looks at. All right, let me try the side of the church. If a woman walks by your husband and she has a little bit of clothing on, and you say, why did you look at her? Here's why. Because he's male. Well, he's just a pervert. He's a male. And so it's called the bounce method. Because it's just, I'm telling you, ladies, you will not understand this. Every honest man. Now, one man, some of the husbands are going to lean over to their wife because they've been taught to lie in their marriage and go, not me, baby, not me. In fact, this is why men will come to this church and why I've had super spiritual women come to me and they've left the church over this stuff. I remember one lady came up to me with her husband standing right behind her. I'm not kidding. He was right behind her. And she said, "You're a pervert." I said, "Well, thank you." I said, "Nice to meet you too." But I said, "Not all men are like, my husband's not like that." And I said, "Well, ma'am," I said, "is he struggling with homosexuality?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, then he's like that." And he's behind her going, they don't know how to be honest with each other. It's called the bounce method. Your eyes, something walks by, it should be covered that isn't. I'm not telling anybody how to dress, but your eyes just go Shazam. And you're supposed to go Shazam. And you say, "I'm done." I'm not talking about stalking somebody. I didn't say God gave a man permission to go, "Well, looky there, let's take a walk." It's not what I mean. But a man feels unspiritual. Well, do you know how many men in this room right now struggle with pornography because of this issue? It gets quiet when you say that word. And in our culture, because women are being so messed up, the percentages of women struggling with it are going way up because we're just confusing everybody. Ladies, can I encourage you? If you're going to become like men, don't pick our stupid stuff. If you're going to mix up the genders, at least pick the good stuff about us. Don't go stupid with us. You are the salvation of the world, women. I mean, come on. God, you know, listen, God went to Mary before he found Joseph. Finally, he just said, "Joseph, stick around and help her." But men deal with stuff. So if a man deals with that and doesn't know what to do with it, and he thinks, "Well, I'm not a godly person. I can't serve God. Look what I like to look at." Let me say this on how to, this is Father's Day, so I'm going to be plain as an how to be. All men like to look at naked women. I'll try this side of the church. All men that aren't struggling with sexual issues, they like to look at naked women. All of them. All of them. Thank you, Jesus. I want that to rest a little bit in the room. Let it soak in right there on the TV if you're watching. Why am I saying that? That's why men feel like they're unspiritual. Because you say that and everyone wants to pretend. No. Do they really? Here's the key for a fella, okay? Just between us men. Here's what you do. Don't go around naked ladies. Except one you're married to. You can run around and chase that naked one all you want. Or else she'll let you. I said it's Father's Day. Anyway. God made you that way. But it wasn't meant that way. It made that way to destroy you. You don't have to let it ruin your life. You can get that dealt with. God can help you. You can learn how to take control over those parts of your makeup. They don't have to ruin your life. But temptation is not sin. I said temptation is not sin. It's what you do with it. So people feel like, "Well, if I'm tempted this way, there's something wrong with me." Yeah, you're a male. Well, there's something wrong with me. If you ask some women, they'll tell you. That's exactly right. But women are tempted differently than a man. But church has validated the temptation of a woman and supported the temptation of women. But it has done just the opposite to men. I want you to understand, you are called to walk with God. And that doesn't mean you're going to have the same temptations as a woman. Now, a lot of our temptations are common. But can I tell you the main reason men don't want to serve God is they just believe they can't. You might be here today and think, "Look, I'd love to be a person that really went after God, but look, I'm just not that kind of person." That's a lie. You need to learn to process this in such a way. And here's the second point, leaving you with three simple points. Number one, walk with God. Number two, you can do it. You can walk with God as a man. You really can. You can do this. You can take your place as a leader of your home. You can take the place in leading your wife. Your wife doesn't need you in the sense that that you're stronger or better than her. Leadership in the home doesn't mean dictatorial, overbearing nonsense. That's not Bible. In fact, before the Bible ever told a wife to submit to her husband, a few verses just before said, "Submit one to the other." So if submission meant somebody told the other what to do, then you couldn't have mutual submission before the Bible gave you the structure of the home. It said, "Wives, submit or yield to your husband." Well, what are you to submit to yield to about your husband? Well, God's called a man to lead his home through sacrifice. Now, let me ask any lady here, do you have any trouble yielding to someone who's sacrificial? If somebody comes up to you and says, honey, what can I do for you? Could you yield to that? So anybody here would go, I'm not, you know, that submission thing's just ridiculous. I'm not submitting to anybody. That's obvious. But if you're going to submit to God, you're going to submit to His Word. But when a woman hears submission, she hears dominance. When God says submission, he says serve. Listen to what the Scripture said. In Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. That's the kind of leadership we're called to. Now, you're not going to be perfect at it. But every man is called to lay his life down for his wife. And actually, by doing that, you empower her to love you in all the ways that would make you happy. Hallelujah. Told you it's Father's Day. Give me a break. We're going to have some fun in church. Yeah, boy. And if you listen real good, you might have some fun at home. That went right over your head there, didn't it? Okay, so it's called loving your wife. And it actually, in Scripture, will empower her to honor, respect, and defer to you. And then you can actually show the picture of Christ and His church to your children. That's the whole reason. He said marriage is just a picture of Christ and the church. Sacrifice and love. We love Jesus. We love God because He first loved us. Men are called to be the initiators. Now, we live in a world that's undermined that. We have a generation of young men today that don't even know how to date women. They don't pursue women. They don't date. Because they were taught it's wrong to be the aggressor. The culture, let's say this, how really sweet. It's so stupid. God made men to pursue. I didn't say stalk. I said pursue a woman. Do you know how many amazing young women right now are out there going, where are the guys? Because guys are going, well, you know, I guess just, you know, someday I'll walk by her and a lightning bolt will hit us and fairy dust will fall down from heaven. And she will go, I love you. I love you too. If you like her, go talk to her. Go say, hey, can we have coffee? I didn't say stalker, you know, go talk to the girl. And young lady, if you don't want to go have coffee, look at him and go, no, thank you. So I'll make him feel bad. Well, better now than later. Just say, look, no, you know, I'm not thinking that direction. But man, guys, look, you got to go for it. Dads, you got to teach your kids this stuff. No, you go out on dates. I don't mean when you're teenagers in high school. That's called stupid. I'm talking about when you grow up. Did I say that out loud again? I'm sorry. I don't mean you can't do group dates and have fun in high school, but don't let your kids pair up. I'm going to talk to dads. Now, dads, listen, you can do this. You know you're called to lead your sons and daughters. Look what Ephesians says, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, don't exasperate in anger your children to a place of resentment by coming down hard on them. Instead, take them by the hand and lead them to the way of the master. You're to lead your sons. You're to lead your daughters. You're to literally teach your son, hey, this is what a man does. This is how a man serves his family. This is what a man does when everything goes wrong in your house. You don't get to go hide in the corner and pretend to let your wife have to bear the brunt of it. You buck it up, big boy, and you get in there and you fix and fight the battles that need to be fought. And I don't care what it costs you, you go. You need more money? Go work another job. You do whatever you need to do. You be the man and take care of your home. That's what a man does. Now, I know the feminist says, well, I don't need a man. Listen, you can be stupid all your life. You need a man. God made you to need people. God made me to need people, and He made you to need each other. You're not independent. You're not alone and complete. You need one another. That's what marriage is, a completion. It's the nature of God in male and female coming together, reflecting Christ in the church. Showing your children what it means to have love and submission to love and sacrifice and respect and honor, all in an imperfect environment. You do that with any regularity, you can have a slice of heaven on earth in your home. Doesn't mean it's perfect. I promise you it's not perfect. But man, your sons need you, Dad. Oh, man. And listen, I can tell you this as a dad. The reason a lot of us don't, quote, do this is because, to be really honest with you, it's because we have regrets. My greatest regrets are the things I missed out with, particularly with my son, when he was, because he was the oldest. I was so busy, stupid busy. And I don't mean busy. There's a time you just work hard, but there's 30% of my time was given to things that had nothing to do to make anything better. It was just nonsense. You know, I missed out on some stuff. And I regret that deeply. I can't go back and change it. I really can't. Neither can you. But I want to encourage you to this, that your son's dad needs you to lead them. Tell them, don't let the world turn them into a neuter. There is no neutral in life. There is no neutral. You're either going forward or backward. There is no such thing as stationary. Teach them to be a man. And I'm not talking about belittling anybody. Moms, and teach your daughters to be a woman. Dear Jesus, we need that in this world. People that are not ashamed to be who they are. Instead of it's simple, but it's profound. And let me say this one where your daughters are concerned. Dads. I joke a lot about, you know, when the boy comes, be at the front door with a gun. All right, a knife is sufficient. No, but really, all sincerity, for a young man to love your daughter, he must get through you. This culture is it completely eliminated that, and it's left our daughters unprotected. I really don't mean you being dictatorial and crazy. Now, look, when your daughter's 14 or 15 and some little boy says, I love her, I don't want to date her, you break every bone in his body. Jesus will help you. He'll heal the boy, but he'll grace you for your prison time. You'll be fine. And as a dad, you have sense. Now, let me say this, ladies, please don't misinterpret this, but you have no sense. What do you mean by that? You're not a guy. Isn't he sweet? Your husband's going, nothing sweet about him. Are you out of your mind? No, he's such a sweet boy. He's 17, your daughter's 15. They're out every Friday night and they come home at 1 a.m. He's sweet. He's so nice. He's having sex with your daughter. Did I say that out loud again? Because here's what dads know. Let me quote everybody that loves Raymond. Once the launch sequence has been set in motion, stuff happens. And a young boy just all sense and reason leaves him. And all he's left with is your daughter. Is that too plain? Dads know that. Moms don't. Moms think that he's just kind and sweet. You think he's like you, but he's not. He's a guy. He's kind of crazy and he's young and he's hormonal and stupid. So he needs protection. So what a young man needs to know, particularly when your daughter gets out of high school in a date time where she's really going to seriously start to look at someone maybe to share her life with, that boy needs to come around your family. Well, he doesn't want to come around our family. Well, then he's done. Right. Baby, any man that doesn't want to come around your father means there's something he's trying to hide that he wants to reveal to you later. And you don't want to find out later. You want daddy to find out so I could kill him. I would never harm anybody unless they harm my children. But here's the deal. I mean this sincerely. Now, all joking aside, young man comes into my daughter's life and he could be a great kid. But I want to have a relationship with him. I want to be a dad to him. I want to mentor him if he's going to be my son-in-law. I want to love him like he's my own son. I really do. So when I see something in him and he's dating my daughter, let's say he makes my daughter the butt of his jokes. The first thing I'm going to look at is how my daughter responds. If she sits there and takes it, I'm going to wonder, oh my, baby, what's going on inside you that you'd let a man talk to you that way? Then I'm going to pull him aside and say, son, listen, this is the most important thing in my life. What makes you think you can talk to her that way? What do you mean? You know when you said that over there? Listen, I'm telling you, I'm going to start breaking stuff on you. Did you ever speak to my child that way? Amen. Why? Because you said, well, that would embarrass your daughter. I'm her dad. It's my job. Dad, you can do this. And it really, I really am not trying to give you license to go be crazy. You're already crazy, okay? But don't disappear when your daughters hit adolescence. Don't stop hugging them, kissing them, squeezing them, tell them I love you, you're my heartbeat. so that they, and don't disappear when some guy shows up. What makes me uncomfortable? You look the boy in the eyeballs, shake his hand, and step on his foot at the same time. That's what Matt Gaetz's father-in-law did to him. I love it. I've done it to every kid I've met ever since. He shook Matt's hand and he put his foot right on his foot, and while Matt, and never changed his expression, and while Matt shaking his hand, his father-in-law just kept doing this on his foot. Man's my hero. He looked the boy right in the eye. Son, what are you guys up to tonight? Oh, no. And you never let go. I said, son, what are you doing tonight? Oh, no. Son, he starts squeezing harder. Boy, I said, where are you going tonight? Oh, we're going to go to a movie. Which one? Oh, no. Number one, learn to speak the language. Number two, you better know, because you ain't letting go of your hand until you tell me where you're going and when you're coming home. He said, well, won't that embarrass people? You're their father. You are to be the protector. Your wife's going to look at you and go, stop that. You look at your wife and go, no. Because I'm telling you, crazy people don't want to be around people they know are crazy. You saw a boy. Anyway, all right, I'm going to calm down. Because if you don't protect your daughter, if you don't give her words of affirmation, if you don't let her know that she's worth enough for you to stand in front of whoever, whatever, and say, no one's moving out of this spot because this is the most precious thing in my world, someone else will. And as a dad, I'm telling you, you can provide something for your little girl and for your son. No one on the planet, including your wife, can't do it. That's why we have so much emptiness, so many voids in our hearts. So many of us grew up without those type of influences in our life from our moms and dads. And I know sometimes our parents, they do the best they can. It's not to criticize our parents. Look, I love my folks. I love my dad. He's in heaven now. But my dad didn't know how to affirm me. He just didn't know how. We had a great relationship as I got older and he got older. But as a kid, we really didn't. I don't remember a conversation. I really don't. I don't remember my dad coming up and saying, son, how was your day? School okay? Chipper? As it wasn't how it was. Now, you give what you have. That's all you can be. But as a believer, you can have more. You don't have to give what your daddy gave you. You can find out who you are in Christ and give them more. And then lastly, let me say this. It's never too late. This is never too late to start. And this is one of the ones that I have to tell you that I have to talk to myself about. Because I have a son and two daughters. Oh, I love them so much. And everybody looks back and thinks, what was I thinking? Why did I let that? Why didn't I give more time to that? Why didn't I help work on this issue that would have helped them in life so much more? And you can beat yourself up. It's so important. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie that it's too late. It's not. And don't try to be something you're not. You don't have to become a different person, Dad. But there's something you have to be, is honest. You got to sit down with your son. You got to sit down with your daughter. And no matter what age they're at, you tell them the truth. Say, honey, look, I look back and I wish I could have. And if I could go, and no buts, not here's the reason. Just no excuses. If I could go back and change this, I would. Now, you might feel very uncomfortable doing that as a dad. But let me tell you something. How many of you in this room, your parents may already be gone and passed. How much would it have meant to you right now, some of your living parents that are older, if your dad wrote you a letter and said, and talked about the things that were most damaging to you as a kid, and said, you know what, I know we can't fix it, and I'm not even asking you to forgive me, but I want you to know, it is the deepest regret of my life. Let me tell you something, that would change your life if you're 60. And let me tell you, it's never too late. No, we can't go back. I wish we could. I wish there was a rewind button in life. I really do. But there isn't. But it's never too late to do this as a dad. My son wrote me something years ago. And I get to tell you, look, I know all parents think they have the greatest kids in the world. But I just have three of the best kids in the world. I'm so thankful. Michelle has done such an amazing job as their mom. And they're just great kids. And I'm so proud of our middle girl, Sienna, is working at Urban Impact in the city, serving families that are struggling in an urban environment. So much fatherlessness. And it just thrills my heart to see her loving people and serving people. This means the world to me as a dad. And by the way, we're going to get Urban Impact up here on a weekend. and they're going to bring their teams up, and it's going to be a celebration weekend. I'm working out the details now. Let me tell you right now, you don't want to miss that weekend. It will be absolutely incredible. But nonetheless, my son, I think what I'm about to tell you that he wrote me, kind of wrote because he felt bad for me. Because I've been very honest with him. And he's been very, very, he's been very kind about it. And he said, well, what did you do that's so bad? It's not what I did. It's sometimes what you haven't done. And it just can cause an ache in you as a parent that doesn't go away. And I just want to encourage you. There is a way. You just have to start where you are and move forward. So I asked him a while back. This was actually right when he was getting out of high school. I said, and when I were having these discussions, I said, if there is anything that you think you benefited most in my relationship with you, what was it? And he wrote this to me. And I think part of it was just being sweet, but I don't care. I liked it. He said, Dad, kids walk around school with blindfolds on. He wrote this. And you've shown me how to make decisions with my eyes wide open. You've equipped me to see beyond my school building. You've mentored me. And you believe in me. Now, that's in the middle of regret. And I know some of us have much more deeper regrets than I might have. But I can tell you this. If you have a heartbeat, you have some of them, don't you? It's never too late to start. It's never too late to start with your girls. Now, let me say this in closing. If you're a dad and you have a 17-year-old daughter or son, and you're getting a hold of God and they haven't yet, and this is all new to them, please don't just jump on top of everything and say, it's going to be this way, this way, this way, because they'll run from you. So please use wisdom. I really am not talking about you just being dictatorial. Kids, the older they get, they need to have understanding. They really do. And those of you who have younger children, if getting on my knees would help to beg you to do this, I'd do it. Please take heed to the things that people my age and older will tell you about these issues, because you can prevent so much for your kids. You can prevent so much heartache in your family and in your life by simply making, lastly, your next step in God. You can do this. So what do I do, Pastor John? Just take your next step. I don't know what that is. Some of you might just be coming to church. I'm not big on church. Church is big on you. The head of the church, Jesus, he died for you. He wants to equip you. See, services are meant to be like this, where you leave with an understanding of what you were called to be, called to do, that you're empowered to do it. Church should be a place to where you are fired up to walk with God in holiness and righteousness, where you can find out the equipping and the grace you have to be able to be all that God called you to be. Dad, I just want to encourage you today. You can walk with God. You really can. I want to encourage you to do it. And you can start right now. Don't give up. Don't push back. There's a generation and generations beyond it that are hinging on your choices. You're not an island. You were made to make a difference. And I want to celebrate with you today your happy Father's Day. Whether this is a difficult time in your life or not, take your next step in God. I don't know what that is for you. Some of you today, it's going to be give your life to Jesus. Some of you, it's going to go get water baptized, go through growth track and get busy and connected to your local church and get busy serving somebody else. Some of you, it's to go get in a small group, join or start a small group, lead something. So I'm not that kind of person. Don't believe that lie. You have no idea of the amazing potential that's on the inside of you. And ladies, let me, my last comment will be to you. What your husband needs more than anything on the planet is not criticism. He knows he's broken in areas. And I promise you, you bouncing on a broken bone won't make him better. It won't. And I'm not saying you don't deal with issues in a marriage. I'm telling you that 10 words of encouragement and respect from your heart about what you can find good in that man will do more to make him the man you desire him to be than all the complaining and criticizing in the world. He was designed by God to have a fuel that when you give him deference, when you give him respect, when you give him honor, and when you give him encouragement, he is designed by God like a car designed to run by gasoline. When you give him that, you will fuel him to be the man that God wants him to be and you hope to have. So can I encourage you today? Find something good in that man you love every day, in spite of all the goofy stuff in his life. You can find that without any help. And talk to him about it. Tell him why you love him, why you believe in him. Thank him for the sacrifices that you know he's made. And I promise you, you will fuel something in him to help him take his next steps, not just with God, but with you and with your kids. So I just want to pray over all the dads here, all the families here, as we close. Father, I thank you for your grace that's upon every dad in this room. Thank you for every family represented in this room. So many people struggling with so much. And Lord, I know that there's so many regrets as well in this room. And I pray you comfort the hearts of not just dads, but moms. For the regrets that we feel because of things that we've missed. Lord, I thank you for the blessing it is to be a father. It's the greatest gift on the planet. It's the greatest responsibility on the planet. It's the greatest honor on the planet. And I thank you today for my three great kids. Thank you so much for Ryan, Sienna, and Alexa. Thank you. Lord, I just thank you for their wonderful lives. Thank you for blessing Michelle and I with three amazing kids. We are so thankful. And Father, I just speak the blessing of heaven on every child in this church and every dad, every mom. And Father, we just all desire to take our next step to please you and to honor you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior. If that is, you were to pass from this earth today, you don't know where you'd spend your eternity. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. In fact, I'm going to ask the whole church to pray a prayer out loud and together with you. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your life to the one who gave his life for you. For some of you in this room, it's your next step. In fact, it is the most important step you will ever make as a human being because it will set your eternity with God. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning, you'd say, you know, Pastor John, I don't know what would happen to me if I died today. I don't know where I'd spend my eternity because Jesus said there's a heaven and Jesus said there's a hell. And he died and paid an awesome price so that you could have eternal life and walk with God and the free gift of eternal life that when you die and leave this earth, you go straight to the presence of a mighty God. Not because of the works you've done, but because you've received the sacrifice of the Son of the living God. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ or you're not sure, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you simply right now, right where you're seated, raise your hand up real high where I can see it. Men, don't be ashamed. Raise your hand right now. Anybody, you want to make Jesus your Lord? Lift your hand right now. I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. There are men all over this place. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. That are being brave men, bold men to say, I will walk with God. I'll start today. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Not just men, but everybody. But I want to give you another moment. Don't run out of here without running to the one that loves you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just lift your hand if you've not yet done so. Say, include me as well. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Hey, if you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. I pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my debt, to bear my sin burden. And I open the door of my heart and I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. And my sin is washed away, and I am heaven bound, and I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? God bless you. Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.